Tim, Chief of Mine.
Thank you, John. Clap for a Packer. I appreciate that. Don't get that too often. It's good to be here. Like Brett said earlier, I had the Angus disease, I call it, when I was young. Our family raised Angus cattle our whole life, and it's really great to be asked back to the National Angus Conference Tour to give a speech, because I've been involved in Angus from the get-go, from the start of my life. When I was 8 years old, the other kids in our in my grade, they had their favorite baseball star, and they memorized their averages and so forth. Myself, I had my favorite herd bull, and I knew the pedigrees by heart. At age 12, the other kids, they played video games. I read the Angus Journal. At age 16, the other kids, they were interested in girls. And I was interested in girls. I took a few years off, okay? But it is great to be in the breed, in the Angus breed, and to be raised on a cattle operation. Our family, 9 boys in our family. No girls, 9 boys. And I figure by the year 2010, my mom will hit the sainthood, I'm sure, by then. But it was tough growing up with 8 brothers in our family, especially when you're the best looking and, the smartest. But I also got beat up the most. I don't know quite why, but 6 of the brothers are back home raising Angus cattle. And a lot of people say to me, well, why aren't you there? How come you're not back home with the other brothers? You got a big operation and so forth. And I never knew why until my dad came out to visit me in Colorado. And he said, I want to see your boss. Oh, geez, just don't embarrass me. Okay, Dad, you can come in if you know my dad. No, I won't. I just want to meet him. So he came in, and my boss, Don Wilms, met him and said, Tim is a good ConAgra employee. He works hard. He's done an awful lot for ConAgra, and we appreciate having him. And my dad said, you know, that's really good to hear, because I kept my best boys at home. These are my calls. But it is good to be here. And I tell you what, you know, being in the Angus deal and so forth, it's fun to talk about. But I'm not here today to talk about our Angus program. I'm here representing ConAgra. It's a pet peeve of mine for people to come up here and talk about their own programs and not get to the real topics. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how great our cattle are in Minnesota or what they're doing. I'm here to represent ConAgra and talk about the value-based revolution. And with that, I'll get my screensaver off here and we'll talk about value-based revolution. And what the value-based revolution is, it's like the revolution that our forefathers fought 200 years ago. It's that important in the beef cattle industry. Because we needed this change. And the reason was because we had a communistic way of selling cattle. Everything brought the same price. I have a little slide up there. If the market was $120 per hundredweight in the meat, that'd be like 75 cents live. These are the prices we would pay for your cattle. If you had a certified Angus beef, yield grade 2, we'd give you $120. And we'd give you that for a standard. It's communistic. They're all the same. It's just like in Russia, where you say, you know, work real hard and we'll give you enough money so your family barely survives. Okay? But then you got the other guy that doesn't work very hard, and what does he get? Just enough so his family barely survives. They get the same. It's a communistic way. And this had a lot of influence. I think it was the single most problem in the cattle industry. Because think of it as a bull seller. And a guy comes and you say, yeah, you need to use Angus because they'll go CAB. And your customer goes, and that helps me how? Where do I get the extra money? Because they all brought the same amount. Communistic. Okay. So what happened? The shot heard around the world. ConAgra was the first, and that's when I started with ConAgra 7 years ago, to implement a value-based marketing system. And it's not fancy. All it is instead of paying $120 per hundredweight for every class of cattle, now if you have a certified Angus beef yield grade 2, it'd be worth $127.60 in a current grid. It's worth more. Now when you go to sell those bulls and say, hey, these cattle, they got more marbling and more will hit CAB. And the guy goes, you know, they pay me more for that. I think I will, you know, I'll look at that. That is the difference. And what this grid does is it's got your out cattle at the bottom. Then it has quality grade. Do you have that pointer? Or is it on here? We have quality grade right here, okay? And as we improve quality grade to get it up, the more money you get. Then on the top side, you got yield grade, how lean they are. And the more you get, the leaner you get, the more money you get. So you want to get in that upper left-hand corner, marbling and leanness. But what's the problem with that? The traits are very antagonistic. It's just like when I went to college and I was looking for a wife. I wanted a good-looking wife, but a nice wife. And they're antagonistic. It's hard to get both of those. If they're good-looking, they're usually mean. Okay? So it's trickier than you think. I'm glad you're in the front row, and this older gentleman here, because I had a talk a while back. I had a lady in the front row, and she was looking at me, and she was really mad. And when I got done with this, she got up and she said, you're lucky your wife didn't put you on a grid because she would have never married you. And I said, well, you don't like it because you're mean and ugly. But that's the trick we got. We're trying to get, you know, the two up there. So that's where genetics comes into play and so forth and why there's such a critical role in value-based marketing. This is what the revolution has done. This is year one when I started and when the shot was fired around the world and we started buying cattle on a grid, and ConAgra bought 100,000 head on a grid that year. I was 26 years old and I thought I was pretty cool. I was able to buy 100,000 head on the grid. Year number 7, we're looking at 2.5 million head of cattle that ConAgra buys are on the grid. Now, is that good or bad for you? It depends. Because capitalistic systems, everybody doesn't win. There's winners and there's losers. If you got good cattle, you've got to love this. If you don't have good cattle, this has got to be you got to be very cautious about what's going on in the industry. This is the volume of what the industry has done for grids. This is an example to reiterate my analogy. As we took down here groups of cattle that graded 10% choice, 20% choice, 30% choice, 40, and down the line. Okay, there's their quality grade. And this line here is their yield grade. Now, when we get more grade, you got less yield grade ones and twos. The cattle get fatter. This is on about 2 million head of cattle, by the way. So this is what the packer contends with. And this is what we're trying to get away so we're not so antagonistic in both of these traits. There's three factors in the grid. And I want to make this fairly simple. Because people sometimes confuse grids and they think they're so tough to figure out and find. And what are they trying to do here? There's only three factors. Marbling, how much marbling in the meat, how lean the cattle are, and the out cattle. The out cattle would be the heavyweights, the lightweights, and so forth, the yield grade 4s and so forth. But let's focus on out cattle first. Heavyweights, lightweights, and so forth. This is what our carcass weights have done for ConAgra since 1998. If you look, it's real interesting here too. The weights are the lightest in May 1st. They get the heaviest in September. And you go, May, light again, heavy in September. Light in May, heavy in September. Light in May, heavy in September. Look at this last year, how heavy they are. Can you see the carcass weights just keep going up and up and up, and we wonder why the market sometimes gets low? Because we're making the cattle heavier and heavier and heavier. And whose fault is this? Look at what we had to contend with during the last quarter of last year. It's got to be those damn Continentals, right? They make all the big carcasses. It can't be the Angus. And we looked into this, and I looked at the latest mark data and the most heavily used sires in each one of the breeds. We got our British breeds on the left and the continental breeds on the right. Herefords weighed 1363. Angus weighed 1375. Red Angus 1362. Look at the Simmental were 1390. But the Gelby, the Limousine, and the Charolais were less than the Angus. So where are we getting these high weights? Maybe it's those 100 yearling weight EPDs that we're pushing and trying to use and then getting us into the trouble here. And it's not so much the packing side of it. What kind of cows do you think these make? You think these cows are probably too big when you have a 1,375-pound finished live steer? Probably. So an out cattle is something to be concerned about. And if you look at it, this is what Angus was trying to get away from back in 1984. You remember this ad? I feel like that guy right there. We're trying to put elephants into boxes. And this is what the ad Angus used in 1994. And I'm wondering, are we becoming the elephant? Is Angus now one of them? We have to make sure that's a concern that we have to address. So that's out cattle. Number one trait. Next thing is marbling. And marbling's a tough one because I grew up on an Angus ranch and so forth. I've always liked marbling, but I thought, well, maybe that's just how I grew up on the ranch. Because you hear these university professors say, there's only 10% of the variability of eating quality is due to marbling, and we don't need marbling. And I had to do some real soul searching here. I mean, I really had to dig down deep, and I wanted to find out the truth about marbling. Did we need it or did we not need it? Finally, I came across this. Go out into the herd and pick a choice tender steer for our guests. Genesis chapter 8, verse 7. This is in the Bible. 4,500 years ago. This is Abraham talking. Abraham didn't say, go out into the herd and pick a select tender steer. Abraham wanted choice. So choice has got to be right. In fact, I feel like I'm sinning if I buy select cattle. So I think I found my answer. But I think this is the real reason why marbling is good. Because Dr. Smith did this study that he measured the grades of cattle out of Colorado State. And he figured out how well they ate. How well did the piece of meat eat. And the prime ate the best. Then the choice, then the select, then the standard. Because, you know, people crave three things. Well, actually four things, but I'll only talk about three things. The three things they crave is fat, salt, and chocolate. Marbling has more fat. It eats better. People like it better. That's why it's important. So there's no doubt I am a big believer in marbling. And this is the other reason why I'm a big believer is because they do pay for it. This is the Choice Select spread year by year from 1994. And then I got today on there. So you can see the value between choice versus select has actually increased. It was $4 in 1994, $8.68 is an average in 2001. So what's that telling us? Somebody likes marbling because somebody's paying for it. So I do think it's a value we need to look at. And it's something in the Angus breed they have an advantage of. But here's the key when you look at marbling. It varies to the time of the year. It's not $8.58 difference between choice and select all year round. It varies, but it's very predictable. It's as predictable as a high-accuracy bull. If you look at the month of January, it's like 5 years of data. In the month of January, it starts sliding. The value of choice goes down. And the reason is the Super Bowl's over. People quit their Super Bowl parties. They like to have choice during the Super Bowl parties. You know, have the friends over. I'd like to see what beer sales look like, too. That'd be interesting. And then the amount of choice cattle available during February is a lot. Because we have these producers in Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, that have yearlings. And this is when the yearling cattle in the northern states come out. And yearling cattle grade better. So we got a lot of choice. But a low demand. Okay? So the spread's narrow. Choice is worth about $30 a head here. But what happens in April and May? Last week, by the way, the Choice Select spread increased $6 in 1 week. It increases. The reason it increases in May is because it's cookout season. It's cookout time. People are grilling more beef, more choice meat. So there's more demand. And what kind of cattle are we killing? calf feds from the north. They grade lower. So we have low supply, high demand, high price. Then it stabilizes through the summer. Then it really jumps up here into October, November area. Now, why is that? The reason is, it's these cattle that we put in the feed yard in July come out during November. Okay. Now, what kind of cattle do we normally put in July? We call them the Southern Specials. The Southern cattle that we love to feed and are so special. They're the Brahmin exotic kind of crosses. And they come out and they don't grade anything. So we have low supply. And what happens in November, December? Choice Christmas ribs, high demand. Makes for a wider spread. Now, I tell this to everyone that goes on a bid. I tell them and I show them this chart. But every year I get chewed out. I get my butt chewed. That's because somebody paid way too much for some high percent Angus feeder cattle. And they come out in February and they don't get any premium because the spread's narrow. Every year that happens. And this is so predictable. It's unbelievable how predictable it is. So you have to know when the spread is wide. Next thing I wanted to visit about is what kind of animal makes the ideal animal for the packer and the feeder. What kind of breeds? And this gets a little tricky when you talk about breeds. So we took our database and we ran an analysis on it. And I had the Gilby folks do this for me because they're a lot smarter than I am. And what I have down here is all British cattle. So 75% British, 25% Continental, 50-50. 75% Continental, 25% British, and all Continental. And here's the grade. Here's what happens to that grade as we go to more Continental. You see it drop? So as we get more Continental into the cattle, the grade drops. Well, what does the yield grade 1s and 2s go? They go up. Okay? So where's the ideal? Ideal is probably right in here because they're still grading good, 65%. Okay? The choice and about 65% ones and twos. So when we sort our data and figure out what cattle work the best, the all British grade the best, but they also have the lowest yield grade ones and twos. So that kind of level is where our ideal animal kind of sits. Now this is very tough for some people to swallow, especially the people that have straight Continental. I had a guy that had some cattle that are straight Continental. He goes, what am I going to do? My cattle grade 38% choice. He says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy the highest marbling Charolais bull there is. Because I'm going to get my cattle that way. I said, well, you could either do that or you could use an Angus. That could get you a little bit closer, a little bit quicker. Because combining the right breeds together, I think, is the most important of anything to make the cattle right for what I want as a packer. And how do we do that? There's this thing called ultrasound that we can use now. And I know as a producer, I was really mad when they started this ultrasound because our family collected all this data and did all this testing and measured all the dots and did this. And then John Crouch comes up with this quick and easy way of ultrasound. And we were upset about it. In fact, I wanted to hang John Crouch by the neck for doing this. Actually, not the neck, but another N word that... But you start evaluating the data, and it can get you there. And this is some data. Remember what I just showed you about crossing the breeds. This is out of Thorstenson Gilby in South Dakota, and he ultrasounded the cattle. And the Angus graded the best, or had the best ultrasound. Then it was the half Angus, half Gilby were next. And then the straight Gilby were last for marbling. Then you look at yield grade, or the ribeye area. The Angus were the lowest, then the intermediate, then the straight Gilby were the highest. It goes hand in hand. I'm a firm believer in mixing breeds in the correct, proper combination will get you there. And the ultrasound backs it up as well. We can't forget about the importance of the feed yard. Feed yard performance is twice as important as carcass. Now everyone looks at the carcass and this, and I'm a packer. I'm a packer saying this. Of course, we feed 800,000 head too, but as a packer, I can tell you, you got to look at feeding performance more than even carcass. And we did the same thing. We took all the British cattle to the left and the straight Continental cattle to the right and progressed them through. And if you look at dry matter conversion, of course you want a low one. We want less feed per cost of gain. So you want that very low. And you can see the straight British cattle were kind of high. And then we got to the 75-25. Look how that dropped. Did somebody say heterosis back there? Oh, no. Heterosis, breed complementarity, it dropped it. For every 1/10 of feed conversion that drops, if you have 6-0 conversion versus 5.9, it's $5 a head. So if you drop feed conversion 1 pound, you're talking $50 a head. Can't forget about feed performance. How will yield grades, our third thing, we're talking about yield grades now. How will yield grades change? And they are going to change, by the way. The current system on any grid, here's what we pay for yield grades. A yield grade 1, $3 a hundredweight. Yield grade 2, $1.50. Yield grade 3, minus 50. Yield grade 4, minus 20. Now what's going to happen is more and more retailers are going to want this stuff called case ready. All the fat trimmed out. Whereas right now we have what's called close trim, where you trim it as close as you have to before the guy yells at you for leaving too much fat on it. Okay? That's the current system. When case ready comes, there's going to be new yield grade premiums. And this is going to hurt Angus cattle because they're fatter, obviously. And so instead of being 3 for a 1, the payment will be a 4. Or a 250 for a 2, minus 2 for a 3. So what I did is I took the current system and I took some Angus cattle. We kill a lot of cattle, a lot of Angus cattle. And I ran the amount of Angus cattle in our ConAgra Better Beef program in our Angus GeneNet program. Both are Angus deals, and I sorted the database based on Angus. And if you look at the two, they're about similar straight down. 6% prime, 20% CAB, 74.5% choice, 45% ones and twos, 4% fours, 1% standard. So we pretty much know how Angus cattle kill. I think everyone would agree that's kind of the average Angus animal that we slaughter. That's how they kill. Now over there on the right, I have what the industry average is, okay, on 25 million head. This is only on 200,000 Angus cattle. The industry average is 2% prime, 7% CAB, 54% choice. Then I put how much value there is per head for each one of those traits. So because you grade better in prime than the average, it was worth $3 a head to you. Because you have more CAB than the average, it's worth $3.50 a head. Because you grade better, it's worth $13 a head. That's the big one. The yield grade we take away, and the yield grade 1s, 2s, and 4s. I summarize it here. The marbling on the left and the yield grade on the right. And marbling, your big winner is because they grade choice. But hey, guess what? Red Angus cattle grade choice too. So there's really no advantage for you here over Red Angus. But that's the big money. Secondly is the CAB. That's worth $3.50 a head. The CAB program has put $3.50 a head into your pockets. And you think, well, that's no big deal. Well, I was at a ranch yesterday that uses 2 truckloads of bulls a year, 80 head, and he actually liked Red Angus bulls better. But he said, you know, I get about $5 a head more for my calves because they're black versus the Red Angus, and I have 10,000 heads, so that's $50,000. So that's kind of why I go black. It was very important in getting value to the customer. The prime was worth $3 a head. The standard, because you had less than industry, was worth $2 a head. Totally, the marbling gave you $21.50 a head. On the other side, the yield grade, because they were fatter than the average animals, we took away $6 a head for a net of $15.50 a head, is what Angus cattle are worth more. Now, when the yield grade standard changes and there's more close trim, there's going to be another $3 a head taken away on that side. So you're going to lose $3 a head in value to the Angus cattle unless you can add it somewhere down here on the other side. So, and I think that's happening. Now, when you look at this value, it's $15.50 per head is what they're worth more, $15 a head. How much more do feeders pay for black cattle versus other cattle? How much more do there's no feeders in the room when it was in North Platte. There's all sorts of them. And they said $15 a head or more. The feeder gives this right back to the producer. This is what they're worth, but they give it right back.
So this is how Angus performed on a closed trim system, and the only thing I changed there is the yield grade. The fact that when more beef is sold closed trim, the tougher the yield grade will be on Angus cattle. Trace back. They will find you. If you are producing bad cattle, they will find you. That's what value-based marketing has done to this system. We have a program called ConAgra Better Beef, and it's an alliance between the seed stock producer, the cow, calf, the feeder, and the packer. And we trace all this back. So if we find a bad one, we know who it is. And if we find a good one, we keep them. You're going to hear later today from Weldon Hawley, and he's one of our good customers in this program. And we give all the data back to him, and together we figure out how to make his cattle better. Because the better they do for him, the better for us. And instead of fighting one another between each one of these segments, these alliances, we work together. We actually like one another. And we can make progress. And wait till you hear him later and he'll be able to tell you how that's worked. But the key is, if you think you're selling them at the sale and no one's figuring out what kind of cattle they are, you're wrong. Because not only is ConAgra doing this, every feed yard across America is tracking where they get their cattle from. There's a feeder in Colorado, been feeding cattle for years and years and years, had no idea what different breeds did. He sent some cattle in, and he wasn't on the grid, but we made him go on the grid because his cattle were so poor. We said, we're not going to buy them unless they go on the grid. And he put them on the grid, and they graded 22% choice, a group of cattle. And he goes, I don't see what's wrong. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. How could they grade that low? And I said, what kind of cattle are they? Well, they're Brahman by Limousine. And which breed there is helping you get to grade choice? Which breed's helping you in that area? He didn't know. He did not know that Brahman or Limousine were lower grading breeds. But now he does. In fact, last week he called me. This is how sophisticated they're getting. Last week he called me and said, hey, I'm going to buy some cattle out of California. I see they say they're sired by Tehama Angus bulls. Is that good? I said, yeah, I'm good bulls. They're known throughout the Angus breed, but you'll know more after you feed them. He goes, yeah, I will. So people are watching that, and they're watching what you're doing. So keep that aware. I was going to talk a little bit about the cattle market and why it's so low, but I see I'm out of time, so I'm going to have to just kind of close here. But I do want to say I'm going to be around a little bit after. I am bullish on beef, especially Angus beef. I'm bullish on beef because the new capitalistic way to sell cattle will reward producers the right way. I'm bullish on beef because especially Angus beef because the Angus Association, with John Crouch at the helm, is in the role of taking beef to the next level. You have the data to do it. And I'm also bullish on Angus beef because these are ConAgra's value-added programs. Prime, 85% of our cattle that are prime are black. CAB, 100% are black. We have a program called Armor Black Angus, 100% are black. And Swift Angus Select, 100% are black. Do you know what this means? This means if the buyers don't buy black cattle, we get our butts chewed out. And we don't like getting our butts chewed out, so we go out and we try to buy black cattle. Because we've got to fill these programs that we have in place at ConAgra. So that's why I'm very bullish on Angus beef and working with the association, especially the CAB program with Larry Cora there in the back. And I appreciate you guys having me here today. I'll be around to answer any further questions. Thanks a lot.